This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome, I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Coming up, the definitive security app that the Wall Street Journal's personal tech columnist David Pierce says actually makes browsing easier. Not an insufferable chore that ultimately makes you throw your hands up and say, you know what, just hack me. The details, but first, these tech headlines. India is looking to curb U.S. tech giants' power. Policymakers are looking for ways to tamp down American tech behemoths, a shift that could hurt growth potential in one of the biggest remaining open markets for their expansion. India wants to slap new rules on Amazon, Alphabet's Google, Facebook, and other firms, using a page from China's playbook to take control of its citizens' data and shelter homegrown startups. American firms are betting billions on the Indian market because, unlike China's, it's been relatively open to foreign competitors. And its e-commerce market is expected to be worth $33 billion this year. France is taking on cell phone addiction. A new French law will ban students ranging from 3 to 15 from using smartphones anywhere on school grounds, with only narrow exceptions. Read more about the story from the Journal's Sam Schechner at WSJ.com. Here's good news. Hackers are currently rooting out potential flaws in voting machines. Testers at this week's DEF CON Computer Security Conference in Las Vegas are testing the security of commonly used election machines, rooting out weaknesses so that vendors will be pressured to fix flaws and states will upgrade to more secure systems. Organizers see the event as an early test of U.S. election security. But some election officials and makers of voting machines aren't so sure. The Journal's Robert McMillan has more at WSJ.com. Google is wooing partners for a potential China expansion. While its core services like Search, Gmail, and YouTube remain blocked for most Chinese citizens, Alphabet's Google provides tools and support to a growing number of app developers, manufacturers, and advertisers in the region. The Journal reports that those allies will likely be crucial as Google tests a mobile version of its search engine that would specifically stick to China's strict censors. Coming up, a security app that apparently for once actually makes browsing easier. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. Personal tech columnist David Pierce says the new Dashlane security suite with a password manager, a VPN, and a tool to check if your personal information has been stolen, good to know, is the easiest way to protect yourself on the internet. Here to explain with more, patching in from San Francisco, is David Pierce. Hey, David.
Hey.
A lot of operating systems and browsers have their own password managers. It's sort of custom, and we use some of them, ignore some of them. Some of us do, some of us don't. But you think it's worth getting something that works on all devices, and it's the time to do it is right now. You did the homework, as you do. And you say an app called Dashlane is the way to go. Why is it your favorite?
So the beauty of Dashlane is that it solves sort of the fundamental problem with password managers, which is that they're a great idea that you'll sort of stop using as soon as they become complicated. I've been through this a million times. I think most people have, where you have, you know, these beautiful intentions and you want to be more secure and you set it all up and you get everything ready. And then kind of the first time you run into roadblocks, it all falls apart.
You're
like the first time
this?
Your Fitbit dies and you just never put it on ever again. It's like that. And the beauty of what Dashlane has is that it works everywhere. It's on phones, it's on laptops, it's on tablets, it works on your Apple Watch. Like, it's just sort of pervasive. And not only that, but it actually offers a bunch of different security tools in one app, which I can get into. But it also, it's just easy in a way that I feel like too many apps are not trying hard to be easy. It makes logging into Amazon a zero-click process. You literally go to Amazon.com and then magically you are logged into Amazon. And that's the sort of thing that I will keep using that on purpose, not because it, you know, makes me feel better about the world, but because it's easier.
Mm-hmm.
And when you combine that with the fact that it actually is more secure and is actually helping you, you have what I would think is a winner.
So let's talk about security. Obviously, a lot of people are concerned about that these days. People want to know what they're doing is secure, even, you know, down to the last password.
Yeah. So first of all, I should say that the reality of the world that we live in is nothing is completely secure.
Mm-hmm.
But all you can do is the best that you can. And the reality is if you do even something, odds are in your favor for a long time.
Stack
after
the
that.
Odds but in so, your favor, right?
Yeah, exactly. The best you can do is better than sort of the person next to you. And what Dashlane has is it starts with passwords. It will help store your passwords. It will help you come up with better and more secure passwords. I think we all know by now that using the same password or variations of the same password for everything is a bad idea, but too many of us still do that.
Good anyway.
And Dashlane will basically yell at you until you stop doing that, which I found very effective. There's also things like a VPN, which is it stands for Virtual Private Network, which actually encrypts all of your internet traffic and a bunch of sort of technical stuff that doesn't matter that ends in no one, not even the VPN provider, can see what you're doing online. All of your traffic, all of your activity is completely private just to you. And in a world where that's rarely the case anymore, that's a pretty valuable thing. It also has things like identity theft protection. If something does happen, they'll help you recover. They actually have this system that will troll the dark web to see where your information has been leaked. So like when Home Depot gets hacked and 10 million emails go out or whatever the number was, then all that stuff ends up basically for sale somewhere. And there are databases that are able to figure out what kind of information like that is for sale. And they'll tell you if your stuff has been leaked and tell you to change your passwords and change anything with similar passwords. And so it's this sort of full service system of how to be proactively smart and how, if something bad has happened, to help recover yourself.
Mm-hmm. And by extension, you also want a sense of trust and, you know, keeping your data safe on the offensive front is also important. So what else does it do to stay hack-proof?
So the biggest thing, and this is kind of the future-looking stuff for Dashlane and a lot of these companies, but one thing that they're all trying to figure out is how to not give out your data in the first place, right? So we're in this position now where your phone number and your credit card number and your home address and these things are incredibly important pieces of information because they're how we identify ourselves to everyone in the world online. And so the answer is maybe Home Depot, I don't know why I'm picking on Home Depot, but maybe Home Depot doesn't need my email address. Maybe Home Depot can find a way to communicate with me without having any of that actual information or my real credit card number or any of these things. And so that data is mine to give away as I want to. I am not obligated to do it in order to use these services. So there's companies like Abine who have this product called Blur that will give you sort of unlimited virtual credit card numbers, all of which are like one use numbers, and do the same with phone numbers. So somebody can call you once and they'll get through to you. And then if you shut that off, they'll never be able to call you again. And that I think is where we go after this. I know what Dashlane is thinking about and a lot of these other companies too is it's sort of tokenized identity where it's like, I just want the internet to know I'm me, but I don't want them to have any of my data. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to get there, which I think is very exciting.
And some of us have a lot of data. I think some people would be shocked to find out how many passwords some people have. So in terms of external memory, you can store how much generally?
As much as you want, actually. The beauty of this sort of system is that it's designed to have kind of all of your information everywhere. I think I put 240 passwords in it, and
wow,
that number has gone up over time. I have all my credit cards in there, all my personal information. A lot of these apps will let you store secure documents. So I know folks who have put their will into these things or important financial documents, and it becomes sort of the safety deposit box on your computer, and you can give loved ones access in clever ways so that if something does happen, they'll be able to get in and access that information later. And so it's the tricky part about all of this is you have to trust somebody, right? Where it's all of that data has to go somewhere. And unless you just want to write it on a piece of paper and trust the lock on your front door, you have to trust some provider. But I like the idea of trusting somebody whose entire business is keeping my data safe, not somebody who is just sort of storing it incidentally to do something else.
Personal tech columnist for the Journal, David Pierce, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For more, check out David's column at WSJ.com. That'll do it for the Tech News Briefing. Reporting from the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.